No wonder he had lost his stomach. He wasn't aware that the car itself, which had drifted to a stop at the side of the road, was also floating, tilting lazily back and forth 5 or 6 inches above the ground, like a small boat on an invisible sea. Then the tree-lined country road was gone. Bridgeton was gone. The world was gone. There was the sound of Toad Ash chimes, repulsive and nauseating, making him want to grit his teeth in protest. Except his teeth were gone, too. 3. Like Eddie, Roland had a clear sense of being first lifted and then hung like something that had lost its ties to Earth's gravity. He heard the chimes and felt himself elevated through the wall of existence, but he understood this wasn't real Toad Ash, at least not of the sort they'd experienced before. This was very likely what Vanney called Avenkau, words which meant lifted on the wind or carried on the wave. Only the Kal form, instead of the more usual Kas, indicated a natural force of disastrous proportions, not a wind, but a hurricane. Not a wave, but a tsunami.
"The very beam means to speak to you, Gabby," Vanney said in his mind. Gabby, the old sarcastic nickname Vanney had adopted because Stephen Deschain's boy was so close-mouthed.
His limping, brilliant tutor had stopped using it, probably at Court's insistence, the year Roland had turned 11.
"You would do well to listen, if it does."
"I will listen very well," Roland replied, and was dropped. He gagged, weightless and nauseated. More chimes. Then suddenly, he was floating again, this time above a room filled with empty beds. One look was enough to assure him that this was where the wolves brought the children they kidnapped from the borderland Kalas. At the far end of the room,